Welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner for Thursday, August 25th, 2016. It's about 2:45 UTC as we're starting the show. I am Sam Minter, and with me is Yvonne Bo. Hello, Yvonne.
Hello.
Hi. You sound so peppy.
I am exhausted. I am tired, and I know Sam... Well, the thing, I'm exhausted because my day was extremely long. Okay, all right, I woke up stupidly early. I had a very long day. I'm traveling once again. I'm in New Jersey right now.
New Jersey, how exciting. Near my old stomping grounds. I lived in New Jersey for a long time.
Yes, I am. I'm in Mount Laurel. And I was near New York City, like, today. As well, and there was a lot of driving involved, and I'm kind of very long, dull meetings.
Gotta love those.
Beyond dull. I mean, this was just.
So
just so dull.
Our agenda for today is going to concentrate around getting through the show fast enough that Yvonne does not fall asleep.
That's right, and Sam ran long. At his work, so if you heard the time we started, considering what time I started.
It's about 45 minutes later than we usually like to start, or about half an hour later, really.
Yeah. And I probably woke up about, I'll say, at least 2 hours earlier than I normally wake up.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful.
Right.
So... the basic agenda, we're going to keep this simple. We're going to do one segment that's a lightning round that just... all the random stuff that's been going on the last couple weeks that we haven't covered yet. Then we will do another segment just on the election stuff. And of course that'll start right after this little bit where we're bullshitting. And I have two little things about, to add to this section. One is just a follow up. Last week I mentioned we were going on vacation. Well, not really vacation, but we were going away from the weekend. It was nice. It was sort of nice. We went to the beach. Now there are a couple things about the beach in Washington that we went to that were sort of weird. One is that, you know, I'd been used to East Coast beaches. Okay. Now all of the East Coast beaches I have been to, and this probably isn't true all the way up and down the East Coast, but you know, you would go and there'd be a place to park and then you would like walk a little ways to the beach. Here, everybody just parked on the beach.
What do you mean on the beach?
I mean, like there's the little town and then there's a road to the beach and then the cars would just park on the beach. Like
on the sand,
on the part of the sand that is underwater at high tide.
Why would they do that moronic thing?
I presume they do that during high tide, but like you could see where the water line was because we were there closer to low tide, and you know they were just parked everywhere, and it's like, and as the tide receded, they would park closer and closer, and as it was sort of towards the end of the, you know, it's starting to like. It wasn't sunset yet, but it was starting to be towards the end of the day. And we were getting ready to pick up our stuff. There were cars like coming right up to where we had been sitting and stuff. And, you know, and as
well, that's annoying.
And, you know, I posted a picture on my personal website on ablesmay.com of my kids flying a kite. And that was cool and blah, blah, blah. But like, you know, we had to watch out like as they were flying the flying the kite. You know, don't run over to where those cars are driving.
Okay, I've been to other Pacific beaches. I will say that's
not normal.
To be particular. No, that was particular to apparently Washington State.
Well, I mean, for that matter, for all I know, it's particular to that particular beach. We were at Ocean Shores, Washington. And, you know, my wife was like dumbfounded. Like, what the hell are they doing on the beach? Now, of course, there was relatively limited parking elsewhere. But it was just weird. We like walked down this road and there's all the dunes. And then on the other side of the dunes, there's just cars parked everywhere. And it was obvious it was like normal and expected and blah, blah, blah. The other two things were it was extremely like... I guess, foggy, which was interesting.
Well, that's normal for the West Coast.
Yeah, so that was interesting. And the water, when we ran down to the beach to, like, dip our toes, it was cold. So, like... But not that. It was... Because I was just saying that's all we were doing is, like, dipping our toes in it because it was cold. But there was, like, green frothy stuff all floating in it, and it was really gross looking.
What do you mean green frothy stuff? Like, what?
I presume it was, like, some kind of algae or something. But okay. It was just gross looking. It was, like, really? Anyway, so, but we had fun. We flew kites. We did that kind of stuff. You know, my son was okay the first 24 hours or so. The rest of the time, he was anxious to get home. But, you know, it was an okay trip. It was good. I liked it. I enjoyed it. Would do it again, although maybe we would explore a different part of the coast.
Hmm. Yeah. How about the waves? Usually, because you mentioned about going to the East Coast beaches, my experience has been that the Pacific beaches usually have much bigger waves.
Where we were, and in the current situation, nah. Yeah, I mean, it was nothing different than I'd seen on the East Coast. But you know, again, this was one particular place at one particular time. So, but you know,
okay.
And the other thing I'd mentioned is, you know, you alluded to the fact that I was late because I stayed at work a while, and I won't say anything more about it because we've ranted on this show about it before, or at least I have. The reason I was staying late was part of the biannual review process. Like, I had to write, like, information about, like, myself and give reviews to other people. And honestly, I should have done it last week, but hadn't done it yet. So I'd promised, okay, I'll get it all done today. So I stayed at work until I got it done. And it just reminded me how much I hate that process and everything involved with it. And it just pisses me off. Like, you know, it that alone leaves me with a distasteful feeling about what I'm doing at work, even if I'm otherwise feeling happy. And it's like, oh God, I hate that process. It just sucks.
I got a reminder notice today about annual reviews, which I thought that I had submitted for my employees. And we do it. I mean, everybody does these differently. I mean, there's a lot of ways. You know, I'd written them all up, but I'd sent them in. But you know, there's a lot of schools of thoughts on this. I've never been a particular fan of most of these annual review things.
Yeah.
I mean, no. You know, I went and I found probably the most useful one. We did these very short, like one pagers, mm-hmm. in which. We just did, you know, it was very short. We gave an overall grade. Yeah. And that was it. I found the simpler, the better. I mean,
I think that is my general takeaway from all of these things is the simpler, the better, the less process, the better. The more that is surrounding it, the worse it gets. And I think it just seems to me like, and like you said, every company is different, balances it differently. I just feel like there is often the amount of time and effort and process that goes into these things has passed the point of diminishing returns. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. So anyway, I just wanted to complain about that for a second because it's just my least favorite part of the year, and it's like we actually do it twice a year. One is the real one, and then there's sort of a mid-year check-in, and this was the mid-year check-in, so it's not as bad as the real one, but it still sucks. Anyway, we are going to take a break. When we come back, we will do a lightning round on anything other than the election that either Yvonne or I want to talk about. And we are going to actually do a real lightning round and stick to like a couple minute rounds. And we'll keep the whole segment at like 20 minutes max. And then we'll move on and we'll do the rest of the show on the election.
Okay.
We will be back after this. No, it's not the beginning of the show again. We're just taking a little time to credit the artist responsible for the music we use at the beginning and end of the show. What you are listening to right now is The O of Pleasure by Ray Lynch. The music we close our show with is Celestial Soda Pop. Both of these songs are from Deep Breakfast. Now platinum, Deep Breakfast was the first independently released album ever to be certified gold by the RIAA. Ray Lynch's other albums are The Sky of Mind, No Blue Thing, Nothing Above My Shoulders But the Evening, and The Best of Ray Lynch. You can check out Ray Lynch or buy his music at raylynch.com, iTunes, Amazon, or anywhere you usually find music. Okay, here we are. Now, here's what I'm going to do. The timer is set for 2 minutes. At 2 minutes, I will not... It's not the end. It's the wrap it the fuck up. Okay.
Okay.
You had a couple of random things to talk about, so let's start with you. Go.
I just wanted to mention that the Olympics happened, and everybody thought that it was going to be a disaster, and it wound up not being a disaster.
Yeah.
You know, and actually,
it was fairly normal, standard Olympics thing.
I watched, I don't know, every time I say that I'm not going to watch any of it, and I wind up watching a whole bunch of it.
I watched a single minute.
Nothing? Not even like any of the opening or closing ceremonies? Nothing?
I have seen still photos, but I have not seen even 1 second of video from it.
Okay, so I watched some of the opening ceremony. I watched the entire closing ceremony. I watched mostly the I will say that the sport that I watched the most is the swimming, in large part because when I was a kid, I used to swim, and so did we all in my family swim competitively for a period of time at
least.
So
you did like the high school swim team and all that kind of stuff?
No. I was only when I was like actually in grade school. Oh, and okay. I did it for about a year, and I was extremely fast, but I quit because it's the most brutal like sport in terms of practice time that you have to do. I had to go, and I was like, I'm pretty sure I was 8 or 9 when I was doing this, and I had to go 5 days a week, every afternoon from, I remember it was like 2:30, 3 o'clock until 5:30 every damn day, be in the damn pool. And honestly, I got burned out, and actually almost everybody else in my family too. It was just very strenuous, and I just burned out from it. You know.
So, but I enjoyed watching the swimming on the Olympics?
Yes, very much so. Yes. So I watched a lot of that, and the U.S. did very well, and Puerto Rico won its first gold medal ever.
You go.
So I was very excited about that.
Okay. My turn, and I will surprisingly actually continue on the Olympic theme. It wasn't even on my list, but since you brought it up, the one part of this that interested me, given that I didn't watch a single second of it and really don't care about the Olympics, is the controversy that seems like it is now at every single Olympics about NBC time delaying everything and repackaging things as a show so that
that is ridiculous. Well, actually, they don't do everything. Okay, time delayed. Almost all those sports I mentioned, no, that's not true.
Okay.
The opening ceremonies and the closing ceremonies, they do time package those. Okay. But I will tell you that the swimming was live. The sprints I saw were live. I watched the tennis match I told you was live on one of the NBC networks. The U.S. basketball game I watched was live. So that's not true. But they do provide quite a lot of live.
Lots of complaints.
I saw the marathon and it was live.
The gymnastics were delayed. Everybody knew that the gymnastics, track and field gymnastics, was delayed. You know, all kinds of things.
Some of the track and field was delayed.
And they repackaged sort of a reality show type thing where they talk about everybody and then they do the thing. And, you know, so
I think here's the funniest thing. I think that some of the higher rated, well, not all the higher rated stuff, because all the swimming they did live. Okay. It is weird that they do.
Here's the bottom line.
I know what you're saying.
Here's the bottom line. It's 2016. I have no problem with them doing the primetime show that has the highlights of everything and maybe a few things live. But there's absolutely no reason that they couldn't have, you know, the on-demand package that lets you get the stuff live. You know,
agreed. And as a matter of fact, they have six channels of live stuff every day.
And the thing is, there were certain things that were just plain not available live, no matter what you did. Unless you used like a VPN or something and got the coverage from the BBC or something instead. Because NBC just wants to tightly control this in a way that's just not, you know, look, the bottom line is, you know, people knew the results anyway, people, because, you know, Twitter and just regular news, it's just like, come on, let people have it the way they want it. That people are willing to pay for it. I mean, I'm not, but lots of people would be willing to pay for a package that gave them live access to everything and, you know, direct feeds of what was going on without even having your announcers giving all their commentary on that. They just want to see the actual action. Let those people get it. You can still have your primetime show for everybody else who doesn't want that. You know, I don't know.
I agree that the fact that, because they had a lot of live stuff, but the fact that not everything was live and that they would restrict that makes no sense whatsoever. And I got really pissed off about the fact that the closing ceremony, this bullshit about not having it live is absurd.
And I want to mention as well, for us West Coast people, it's potentially even worse because some things they would delay even further to West Coast.
Yes. Oh, yeah. They were good. It was nuts. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Your turn again. Go.
I've got Gawker shutdown.
Yeah. So
it
finally happened. Gawker.com itself shut down. The rest of the Gawker empire was sold off to Univision, I guess.
Yes.
But Gawker itself shut down, closing out with a number of sort of self-pitying posts about how they were a victim and everything like that, which was countered by a lot of other people posting basically, well, you deserved it. I don't know. What do you think?
I'm kind of conflicted by the whole thing, okay? Because I think they were a bunch of sleazeballs, okay? I do. But I also think that the method which they wound up getting shut down was sleazy as well.
Right.
So I'm kind of conflicted about the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, they clearly pushed all kinds of lines. And I guess the question is, you know, what essentially happened is a billionaire who was pissed off by them, Peter Thiel, bankrolled a whole bunch of
reason.
Bankrolled a bunch of lawsuits against them until he found one that stuck and got a really large verdict against them that was enough to put them out of business.
Yeah.
And the question is, you know, is this a replicatable thing where, you know, you have, you piss off the right person and they just throw money at you until you go away? You know, well, not money at you, money at attacking you, I guess. And is that okay?
I don't know. The thing is that it seems like in the U.S., even still, it is far more difficult to win those lawsuits than in other countries. So I don't know. I find it. It's just I don't know. I don't know. I'm just very conflicted because they were sleazeballs. Yes. In most of the shit they were pushing out there, so. Yeah.
Okay.
You know, something else will rise.
Undoubtedly. Okay. Yes. My turn. The flooding in Louisiana and in the Gulf Coast, and the whole bit about, you know, Obama visiting or not visiting or when he visited and all this kind of stuff.
Well,
First of all, Obama, sucks that there was a storm, a lot of people affected, but, you know, it happens.
Yeah. A lot. Often. I thought the whole thing about, well, what is, I look, the president's showing up to these things are photo ops.
Yes, for the most
part.
There
is no effective thing that they are doing other than the fucking photo op. It's not that they're going to comfort everybody, and they're just showing up to everybody to comfort them.
Yeah, and well, and as been pointed out, the presence of senior officials, not just the president, but especially the president,
usually
puts a significant burden on the local officials as well.
Exactly. It actually hinders more than helps in the middle of fucking.
Yeah, I mean, fundamentally, I think all of the, you know, Obama should have been there already. It was complete bullshit. Trump going there was a joke. But, you know, really, there's the usual questions of were the emergency services adequate? Is the addition, is the support, the after the fact support, what it needs to be? I haven't heard a lot so far about that.
I heard a lot that the support. Yeah. I heard that, you know, the responders and people were getting the stuff that they needed out there right now, and stuff was being done. I mean, I just
now and
the whole thing about
longer term questions. There's sort of the usual, like, are people building in the right places with the right level of protections for the threats in their area? You know, like,
no, I don't know. This has been a conversation. The conversation about this has been going on for hundreds of years.
Right.
I
mean, things like, you know, California has been boosting earthquake regulations for anything that's built. You guys in Florida do a lot in terms of hurricane proofing and making sure things are there. You know, it should there be similar type push in places that are flood prone?
Not just in Florida. You mentioned not just building in terms of hurricane proofing, but also a lot of work also in terms of like how high above sea level it is as well, by the way, which is a lot of that is going on as well.
Which applies in a lot of these areas, too. I mean, you know what areas are more or less at risk for floods.
Right.
And do you get to the point where you say, look, you know, this area is too high risk for natural disaster X, Y, or Z. Let's make it a park and not have people live there.
Right. Okay. I mean, it's not surprising to me that we have, like, you know, that this stuff happens. I mean, people want to build where they want to build a lot of times, and we wind up with this. So I don't know.
Okay, your turn.
EpiPen pricing.
Yes.
So I have to buy EpiPens. Okay, for my son. Okay. All right. Now my insurance covers them for the most part. But this is such a racket. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, the medicine and the thing costs nothing. Okay. And they charge, I mean, the margin on the stupid thing is absurd. And they have just been, like, gouging everybody and getting away with it. And, well, I will admire one thing, that for the most part, this is being paid by insurance that are fucking the insurance companies, which I'm, like, all for screwing the damn insurance companies, since they basically try to screw you all the time anyway.
Although,
and somehow they've been getting away with it.
Said that, even with Obamacare and other stuff, there's good insurance that covers these things well, but there are a lot of people who end up that paying don't, out that of pocket. Don't
a lot of money out of pocket. It just seems the whole thing seems to be, and it's just that the price is ridiculous. I mean, I'm like, look, you can make a price that you make a really good, decent profit, but they've taken that into just, you know.
So what is these things cost? What, around $600?
Is that they're right? Up to $600, but they never close. But listen, it's the same thing. It's the same design. Nothing has changed, and they've just been jacking up the price
now,
what used to be like about $100.
Now, and apparently the active ingredients and such are much, much less.
It costs less than around a dollar.
Right. But of course,
the active ingredient.
Yeah, there's the usual arguments. People have to recoup the investment in them. But from what I've understood,
it's been around forever.
Right. But correct me if I'm wrong. All the patents here have expired. Why aren't there like generic ones all over the place?
Well, there is a. Okay. So a competitor had come out with one last year. Okay. And there was a problem with it, and it got recalled. Okay? Okay, so that's one thing that happened. There is a competitor to it as well that is very similar to it. The problem with that one is, if I remember correctly, is that so many people are trained on how the EpiPen works, which is you pop a cap, put it in. And the thigh, and you do, you do that step. That apparently the other one is a little bit more complicated to use, and so they are worried that if you deploy those at schools, that people will fuck up the delivery of the drug.
So, but if all the patents have expired, why can't they make it a complete clone?
I don't know why they didn't make it. I think the patents on the drug. I don't think the patents on the device are expired.
Okay.
The patents on the drug, yeah, there's no patent on it. It's generic, but it's the device. It's the delivery device.
Huh. Okay.
So that's where the issue is. I don't think you could just copy. I don't think the patent on the delivery device itself expires.
Okay. Very good. My turn again. The NSA hacking. There were reports over this last week, or maybe it was the week before. I forget. That basically a bunch of tools that the NSA apparently used to infiltrate various networks were collected by a hacker organization, again, possibly related to the Russians, and they're apparently auctioning off these tools. Now, they're several years old, so they're not necessarily current, but the basic notion is that the NSA might have left around some of these as remnants on machines they had compromised, and they were found and caught. And, you know, of all people, Edward Snowden had a series of tweets about what he thought was going on here. Is basically this is signaling. This is like there's nothing new about people having caught, you know, the Russians having caught the NSA or the NSA having caught the Russians in terms of what they're doing. What's new is that they're sort of putting this out publicly. And one notion, and this is all speculation, was that there's been a lot of this talk about the Russians having hacked the DNC, and in the last few days, also apparently some journalist organizations and some other things. And basically, this being a warning from the Russians saying, hey, we know you guys do this too, so if you start going after us and saying, trying to pin all of this stuff specifically on us and trying to prove it, then we're going to retaliate by showing all the places you're infiltrating across the world.
I don't know. I think he's reading way too much into it.
So what do you think?
No, I just think, I just think probably, you know, these are old tools, and, you know, like one of the things it says, it's tough to keep secrets anymore.
Right. I don't know.
I think that's more of that than anything else.
I don't know. It sort of clicks to me. I mean, who knows what really is the truth, but I would not be surprised at all if that analysis was correct. And for that matter, with all the people saying...
Oh, no, I wouldn't be. But I don't know if it's a likely one.
For all that matter, for all the people saying Snowden is really a Russian agent, for all we know, he's directly saying what the Russians want to be said about this. So who knows?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So, you know.
Your turn. And we got time for, like, two more.
I'm out of subjects.
Okay, then I will do the last one, then, which is today it was announced that we have found a planet around Proxima Centauri, which is the closest star to the sun. And not only that, but it looks like it's in the zone where you could conceivably have water, which means you could conceivably have life. And notice I emphasized both of those conceivablys because while it is in the zone that's sort of necessary for that, it's not sufficient for that. So it's quite likely that, you know, that's not that there actually isn't water, there actually isn't life, none of that kind of stuff. But what's interesting about this is it is the closest exoplanet yet found because it's around the closest star to us. It's turned out that exoplanets are exceedingly common. They're still searching for ones that are sort of very Earth-like, and this is not only possibly, it's the right size to be an Earth-like planet, it's in the right zone to be an Earth-like planet, and it's really close. So they'll be able to do additional
analysis
through techniques that are not available for some of these things that are further away. Like, it may actually be possible through some of the new telescopes that are currently being built that'll come online over the next 5 to 10 years to actually visually see this damn planet. I mean, probably not more than, you know, a dot of light, but they'll be able to directly image it, and I say a dot of light in the picture, but they can get all kinds of spectroscopic information from that as well.
When are we going?
Well, actually, along those lines, there's this project that's being financed by a Russian billionaire and endorsed by Stephen Hawking to try to actually figure out how, within the next 25 to 30 years, actually send a probe that could get to the Alpha Centauri system.
How long would it take?
It would take 20 years to get there. And then even once it was there, it would take 4 years for the light signal to get back to us. So after they launched the thing, it would take 25 years to get any signal, if it was even successful. And this is probably... So we're talking 50 plus years from now before you would get anything like that.
Well, fuck. Well, I might be... Well, okay, I'll be 95.
There you go. But
and I hope to,
that's of course optimistic, but like the basic idea of this plan is to send not a full size space probe, but something exceedingly small, like, you know, on the order of, you know, a few centimeters, with some very basic instruments, and use some solar sail technologies and lasers and stuff to just accelerate it to like 20% of the speed of light, which would be faster than anything we've ever done. It's very ambitious, but theoretically it uses technology that exists today. But as with most such projects, the chances are that even if they don't achieve their final objective, in order to try to get there, they'll develop some interesting technology that could be used elsewhere. Anyway, fun stuff. And I said we would do 20 minutes on this segment. We're at 22, or slightly less than 22. So we're going to take a break, and we'll come back, and we'll do election stuff. And, you know, hey, there were a bunch of other topics I had here. We'll leave them for another day. Back after this, and we'll talk election for the rest of the show.
Facebook, Facebook, Facebook!
Hey, do you want to help support Curmudgeon's Corner? Well, right now, the best way is through Facebook. If you haven't already liked us on Facebook, and you actually, well, like us, then go search for Curmudgeon's Corner on Facebook and like our page. It will help you see when we announce new episodes, and it'll help us reach more new people, too. If you like a particular episode, like our episode announcement post too. or share it with your friends. All of this helps spread the word about our podcast to more people who might like it as well. And of course, we love having a conversation with all of you listeners, so please use Facebook to leave comments on the shows, give us suggestions, or anything else like that. It's always great to hear from you. So, if you want to help the show, use Facebook. Or forget all of that and just send us money.
Okay, we are back. So, let's start out with the things that aren't directly Trump, as usual. So, there's been some additional back and forth on this email thing. We mentioned last time that... Anyway, Clinton had said basically, hey, I got this idea from Colin Powell. And Colin Powell was a bit annoyed at this. Like, he's like, you're trying to pin this on me. And, you know, a lot of people have pointed
but
out that
my understanding is, didn't he confirm that he did write an email to her?
He confirmed
telling her
that he wrote an email talking about how it had been useful to him to do some things through his AOL account with his staff.
Right. Correct.
That was at a time where the State Department had nothing equivalent available. But his point is, first of all, I did say that I had done it, and I did say that it was useful. However, going the extra step,
he never said to set up a server or anything that.
There were a couple things. First of all, he never said directly, please do this. But also, going further, he was using a commercial service, which was also probably not particularly wise.
That's any safer?
Well, it actually probably is, because you've got
back when we're talking about 15 years ago?
Yeah.
Okay.
Even so, you've got like, I'm not saying it was a good idea. I'm just saying that chances are you get better expertise on protecting these things if you're getting it from a major company providing email as a service to millions of people than you are if you hire your friend, the IT guy, to set something up in your basement.
Well, okay, fair enough. But still, anyway, easily hacked. Anyway, all of those accounts, as you know. Okay.
Yeah, yes. And so anyway, what Colin Powell did was also stupid. I think it doesn't change the fact that what Hillary Clinton did was stupider. But in any case, you know, Colin Powell is basically like, leave me the fuck out of this. You know, and this is interesting. It's interesting that.
But I you know what? But I'm sorry. This goes back to the point. I know he doesn't want to be in it. And I get why.
But he is.
But he is. Okay. Because he did it. Which has been my point since the first place. I'm sorry. Everybody's focusing on how Hillary did this. And we know that Colin did it. And Condoleezza did it. They're not crawling up their ass.
Here's
about
the other part. Hillary didn't have to make this point. Like, there were some old emails released that one of them mentioned this. But Hillary's staff went ahead and took the opportunity to talk about this. And this is once again the shut the fuck up on the email thing. Especially in terms of this kind of thing. Like, Colin Powell is one of those Republicans that you should be sitting there
trying to get to come over to
your side.
Okay, I know.
He endorsed Obama in the last two elections. It's not a big stretch.
Listen,
here.
They said it. I know. But they said it, and then I don't know. It stopped pretty quickly, or so it seemed like to me. The whole thing.
It did.
So.
It's like one of these things, though. It's again an unforced error. Like, you didn't have to say a damn fucking thing. Even if it was in the document, you didn't have to say a thing. Meanwhile, you piss off Colin Powell, who is a potential ally here, actually. And instead...
On the one side, I do get that. But on the other side, I also understand the reason why people are pissed off. It's like, you know... Yeah, I mean, everybody's harassing her about this, but How much time harassing Condoleezza and like Colin or everybody else for doing it has been spent? Like,
yeah,
but, zero.
But,
Clinton, I know they're not running for president. But
Clinton just has to let it go.
I know. She has to let it go.
She has to let it go and stop defending herself, basically. And I realize that rankles, but, you know, look, there was a whole investigation by the FBI. They decided not to indict you, but they said you did a lot of stuff wrong and a lot of things stupid. Just say, okay, I did a lot of things wrong and a lot of things stupid, and I learned from it. Stop trying to defend yourself on everything, because it just keeps the issue alive. Not that it's going to go away anyway. I mean, I said a year ago plus, that we were going to be hearing about these goddamn emails.
We did. And we said this thing was stupid and ridiculous. We did the whole damn thing.
Well,
just retarded.
We said that she was stupid and ridiculous.
Yes. Yes.
In the end, when you look at it in the grand scheme of things compared to everything else, this was relatively minor.
Minor.
But that we would still hear about it forever. And of course we have. And there are even more revelations to come, because apparently there's another batch of 15,000 emails that a judge has ordered to be released in October. It's like, really? Okay.
I know. The whole thing is so retarded. I'm like,
okay. Now, speaking of the emails, one of the things that is within these emails that we talked about some last week, but has been a continuous topic of discussion since we recorded our last show, is the Clinton Foundation and influence and what's going on there. And you know, did people get access to Hillary Clinton because they donated to the Clinton Foundation and all of this kind of stuff? You know, from everything I've seen on this, first of all, yes, apparently, you know, people who donated to the Clinton Foundation did get to see Hillary Clinton, but there's no evidence that they wouldn't have gotten to do so anyway, even if they hadn't.
Right.
And you've got, like, basically, you know, anybody who's anybody had given to the foundation, and, you know, these are the same people you would kind of expect the Secretary of State to talk to anyway. Was there ever a connection where somebody wouldn't have gotten to talk to Hillary Clinton, but then did because of their donation? Nothing in what's been released shows that. You do have this sort of loosey-goosey, hey, it looks kind of funny. But beyond that, and if you try to dig in to try to find something that actually was done that was wrong, so far there's been nothing. And
I'm sorry, but not to beat a dead horse, but isn't that always what happens with the Clintons? That everybody tries to find something that they make it, like you said, you know, this could be a connection, like all these people died that they knew, they must have murdered them or something. It's always like something.
Well, and also not to mention the fact that in general, like if you applied these standards to everything else in Washington, D.C.
Yes.
Guess what? Yeah, this is how I may not like it. You may not like it, but this is what happens. You know, like, people are constantly sort of, you know, rubbing each other's back, giving each other favors, going back and forth.
In all politics, look, let me give you the story. Today, I was, look, in Puerto Rico, a trial started today for corruption that was very seriously connected to the governor, a fundraiser that was connected to the current governor, who decided not to run for re-election, by the way, in large part because of this, okay? And the entire enterprise around, you know, how this guy had his tentacles in almost every agency in government in Puerto Rico, how he had influenced placing people of his confidence into different agencies, how there's an entire paper trail showing how he influenced these people, the gifts that they gave these people, the corporations that were set up in order to get contracts from the government and get the money. But there's an entire paper trail showing this, okay? which is my point. I mean, you found these emails showing, yep, give this lady specific gifts, like they had like expensive shoes and champagnes and other gifts and cash gifts and whatever and whatnot, right? Mm-hmm. But you have all this trail. Everything that we found in all these emails, I've seen corruption is what I'm saying. I know what it looks like. I'm looking at all this shit and I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? Well, There's nothing here.
And of course, if you listen to the conspiracy theorists, the answer is, well, she's just better at hiding it.
Oh, she's just a fucking genius, right? That's why we just, yeah.
That's right. Why we were talking about how stupid her email thing was.
That's right.
But look, you know, and also the other thing, so I yet to see the actual connection that shows anything that's improper. Like, everything is optics, or it looks bad, or it's whatever. It's like, okay, fine. Bad optics. I grant you, in some of the cases, things look a little weird. But show me the actual thing that was done that was wrong. Now people have, I've seen a couple tweets saying, well, you know, the same people who are saying, show me the evidence, don't just tell me it looks bad, are also pointing out things on the Donald Trump side that are sort of insinuating, well, that looks kind of bad without evidence. And, you know, I grant you that probably is happening, and those people are wrong too.
Well, I'm sorry, but on the Trump side, we got worse stuff that's actually really bad and documented. For example, all the stuff about Trump University, the marketing materials,
right.
Method in which, yeah, I mean, this is actually documented.
My point is, there are certain things where there's actually stuff there, but there are certainly other places. I mean, even the Clinton campaign themselves, for instance, are guilty, just within the last few days, are pushing the whole, like, you know, Trump is like a puppet of the Russians thing. And okay, there's a lot of things that look kind of funky there, but there's no actual evidence of a, you know, Putin is, you know, directing what Trump does, right?
Other than they have a Twitter bromance or whatever.
Right. There's a lot of people pushing things further than they, and like, I was going to yell at the Clinton people for that too, is like, you don't have to do this. I mean, we said this last week, like the Clinton campaign should be keeping their hands off all that shit. If there's anything real there, other people will go after it. The Clinton campaign should go nowhere fucking near.
The thing is, they got plenty of real stuff to go with.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't need to use this crap. You know, this is like, right, we've got no evidence that Putin and, like, Trump are in cahoots with anything. I mean, there is nothing. So, whatever. Why are you going with that? You got plenty of good shit to go on.
Exactly. So, anyway, the other thing that's been brought up occasionally, I've seen something going around trying to outline the Clinton Foundation and saying that the percentage that actually goes to the charities is really tiny, and most things are going to the staff and sort of a standard. It's really a funnel of money to the Clintons because very small percentage actually goes to the charitable causes. And I've seen that going around. But then I also saw a couple of the agencies that rate charities. And I tweeted one of these. One of them was interviewed on CNN on Wednesday. Basically saying, hey, compared to all the other charities, they're actually really good. They're one of the best. We gave
that's what I was going to say. I was going to say that because, yeah, every charity has overhead and administration.
But also the thing that I've seen going around virally has a whole bunch of numbers listed. And at the end says the amount actually going to charity was something on the order of 5%. Apparently, the real number that is given out by these agencies that rate charities is more like 60-70% is going to.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. That's right.
Not 5%. Because 5% is certainly in the realm where you're like, okay, this is a bogus charity.
Well, that's in the realm of, I think that one of the ones that was getting shit recently that was like that. This one that was for soldiers. Mm-hmm. That was involved in a recent controversy where they were raising money supposedly for disabled soldiers, and they basically were just fucking fleecing people,
right,
and spending most of the money on stuff like that. Yeah, and no, that's not. Yeah, 70% of the money is a good percentage for a charity. I mean, you look through all the charities, that's really on the high end, because it takes a lot of, I mean, there's a lot of overhead to run these damn things. It just is. So,
okay. So I one transition thing, and then we'll take a break, and then come back and do all Trump, that side of things, which is, and this is sort of Trump, it's transition, 'cause it's both. The Trump folks have been really pushing this thing, and this same thing with the Democrats pushing this Russian thing. It's like, why are the Trump folks going any at whatever? It's the Trump folks pushing this idea of Hillary Clinton is sick. And Look at these videos. She's obviously having a seizure or whatever. And it's like, she coughed.
I know.
Or she's, she stumbles on the stairs and, oh my God, that must mean she's about to die.
Nobody's talking about Trump's, basically like the letter from the doctor doesn't exist.
A lot of people talked about that, including us last week, but Hillary has actually released a lot more comprehensive health information than he has.
Oh yeah.
Of course, Carson, I don't know if you saw this quote, ever be
what did that helpful, idiot say?
Even, he is always one of the most helpful surrogates.
What did Carson say?
Carson came on TV and was talking about this health thing, and he's saying, both Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump should release all their medical records, given that they're both elderly.
Well, there you go. That was very helpful. There you go. Okay.
And look, they're what, both 69? Or she's 69, he's 70, something like that? They're on the edge where you could use that term. But, but Carson coming out and be like, yeah, Trump's elderly, he should release his too. Thank you very much, Carson. I'm sure is, Trump's reaction to that. Oh, yeah. And just remember, if we do have a Trump administration, Ben Carson is going to be in it. Anyway, look, there's no evidence that there is a significant, serious health problem for either one of these candidates. Now, who knows? There may be something. They are up there. 69, 70 is the kind of age where issues start happening. But there's no direct evidence that either one of these people has any known existing condition that's going to be a problem. And the insinuations about this are just absolutely ridiculous. I mean, it's stick to the stuff that's real. There's plenty, if Donald Trump wasn't a Donald Trump and he was any other Republican candidate, we've said this time and time again, there is so much stuff about Clinton to criticize. Not just this email stuff, not just made up Clinton Foundation stuff, but there's all kinds of real stuff to go after Hillary Clinton on.
In terms of policy positions,
In terms of policy, but also there are all kinds of weaknesses in places where there's stuff in the past that it's like, that doesn't look quite right. You could find things. You don't have to make
sure. But I would say that, I will say that, look, for the most part, the areas where, for example, if you wanted to attack Clinton, the things that attack, for example, look, she supported the Iraq War. For example, she has been quite on the side of being a little bit more warmongery than a lot of Democrats. Number one,
right? Well,
I think that's
positive for lots of Republicans, but yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I guess it depends on which day of week Trump is talking.
Trump has definitely had the opposite position on that kind of stuff. So
right, okay. So that's one thing. There's also a lot of the criticism goes back to some of the deals that were made by Bill Clinton, like regarding welfare. And how benefits have been cut to a lot of people, and how that happened. You could argue that some of the push for Some people complain about affordable housing push and how the way it was done with subprime mortgages, and that the fact that, you know, a lot of people on those defaulted, and, you know, that we didn't do a good job of that. But some people blame them. Look, I'm not saying they made
my point.
There's a lot of good policy points that you could pull with good information, just, not this nonsense.
It looks like desperation. If what you're doing is, instead of all of that kind of stuff, you're
trying, is making up these fake videos about her having a seizure. Right.
Right. I mean, really, come on. That's the best you can do.
Apparently.
And like I said, I think the Democrats have a couple of times pushed into areas where they would be much better off just leaving them alone. Like, you know, like the Russian connection, like other things. You know, look, if there's meat there, the press will find it.
Let's be clear. Okay, let's be clear. Ivanka did go on vacation with a girl who's reputed to be Putin's girlfriend, right?
Yes.
But like, I mean,
but okay, I've said this before, Donald Trump is a disaster that is hurting himself almost every day, and we'll spend the next segment talking about that. The Clinton campaign just needs to shut the fuck up and let him do it.
Yep, because he's very good at it. Because, and today he did more of it.
Because every time the Clinton campaign tries to be aggressive about this, they just open up avenues of attack against them. And, you know, I'm not saying do nothing. I'm saying keep the high ground. Talk about what you want to do. Maybe, yes, talk about how Trump is a moron and is dangerous. Okay, I buy that. But you don't have to indulge in the going after things that aren't well proven. There's enough about Trump that is well proven to go after him. You don't have to go on these speculative leaps. And I think on a few occasions, the Clinton campaign has been guilty of that, and they need to stop. Okay, we'll take a break, and we'll finish off the show with Trump stuff. Back after this.
You're in the Valley, AM 1620, and LiganAirRadio.com. This is where you'll find your favorite songs. Everybody's doing a brand new dance now. Come on, baby. Let's do
the twist. Well, they got a new dance, and it goes like this.
Classic music for a classic American town, AM 1620, and in stereo at LiganAirRadio.com, The Valley.
Okay, we're here again. And so, Yvonne, Donald Trump has pivoted.
Well, I don't know. Okay.
No.
I'm not going to call this a pivot. This is the usual Trump swerve. He just swerves all over the place because it's like a drunken guy in a wheel of a car. I mean, you know.
The specific thing that we're talking about, I mean, there's several Trump things to talk about, but number one is there has been this back and forth all week long about, is Trump going to soften his position on immigration? Because if you remember during the primary campaign, it was about the wall, and about how we're going to take all of the illegal immigrants in the country and deport them all. No ifs, ands, or buts. We're going to get rid of them all.
But this is the confusing thing about this, okay?
Yes.
I don't know why all of a sudden he's softening his position when, number one, the whole convention was about this, right? Okay? They had this entire video of all these people at the border fucking talking about how people are murdered and scared and blah, blah, blah. The only campaign commercial that I've seen from them, okay, that I saw on TV, talks about this specifically. It's the subject of the whole damn commercial.
Yes, but what he's done,
and now he's going to go and soften his stance on this.
What he has said in the last 24 hours before we're recording this is he's come out and said, well, you know, maybe we can let some of the good illegals stay. Or maybe we can take into account if they've been, you know, providing value to the community. Or maybe,
doesn't that sound like, oh my God, the dreaded word, amnesty?
Well, and without using that word, but he's also basically, he put out He's said things that are saying that, look, we have to prioritize the dangerous ones. We have to prioritize the criminals. We have to do this. We have to do that. And which basically, when you write out everything he just said in the last 24 hours, you not only are you now not matching what he said in the primaries, you are repeating almost verbatim the positions of Jeb Bush and Marco Rubio. And you know what else? It's the position of the Obama administration, too.
Right. So I don't understand this. This sounds to be insane.
So basically, he's now saying, because people all along said that his plan to deport everybody was just A, unrealistic, because it would take, you know, hiring an army of people just to do these deportations. Two, would be incredibly cruel to many of these families and individuals involved for, you know, what essentially are paperwork violations in the end. And now he's saying, well, you know, we have to make some concessions here. We have to, and he's not using those words, of course. He's saying it as if there's no real change here. But the problem is, here's the thing. What he's trying to do here is, to people who are just now paying attention, he's providing this more nuanced point of view, that doesn't seem quite as cruel, doesn't seem quite as outrageous. And with the idea that, okay, he's going to get some of these people to, you know, some of these Republicans who are waffling, and other. Yeah. Oh, thank you. And my son Alex is here and brought me some water for my plant.
Phil just told me it needed water on Mom's phone.
Oh, okay.
So there's water.
I will give Phil some water in just a second. Thank you very much.
Okay.
My plant is named Phil, and I've got like a little electronic sensor thing in it that sends alerts to the iPhone when it needs water and such.
No, that's nice.
So anyway, he's trying to have it both ways, because yep. and this is what I was saying a year ago, like if Trump was able to do the pivot, and I thought he was going to be much better at this, to be honest. But what he would try to do is get to this part of the election and present a more moderate point of view and have it so that the people who were really into what he was saying in the primaries would think now he's lying in order to do the general election. And the people who like what he's saying now would say, well, he was obviously lying before, and try to get both of them to support him. But I think what's happening is that nobody trusts him.
Right.
You know, they're not falling for it. I mean, you've got a bunch of conservatives who liked his immigration stance in the past, and quote unquote conservative, they're different brands of conservative, of course, but people who are hawks on the immigration issue,
right,
have been expressing outrage that he's now softening his position.
I saw that. That's why I don't understand. This is like too late to do this. If you were going to do this, you need to do this back in May. June. Okay? Heading into the convention. Not hold the convention in which the fear and awe convention, okay? And then now, oh, well, yeah, that was just all show. Very funny.
Yeah, and so now, so I think he may be trying this to try to, because, you know, the people were recognizing, the people on his staff and some of the new people he brought in recognized that his hardcore immigration stance, as well as several other things, were really turning off a large portion of the electorate, you know? And so they're like, well, let's moderate that. But now they're losing some of their base.
And, right. I don't think this is a winning combination right now. I mean, whatever you add, you're going to lose. I mean, first of all, I don't think that the people that found it horrific, your position before, are going to believe the bullshit you're trying to peddle now. And I think all he could do by doing this is lose some of those hardcore people.
Yeah, because now they think he's betraying them.
Right.
And so I think this is, he may be trying something clever here, but I just don't think it's going to work. I think he's going to end up alienating even more people and dropping even further. And the same thing, by the way, goes like,
well, maybe part of it. Well, that, but of course, that may be his plan.
Maybe, maybe in order to get to Trump TV or whatnot.
Yes.
But, you know, given the man's ego, though, he doesn't want to lose. I mean, he doesn't want to be president, okay. But he doesn't want to be humiliated.
But you see, the thing is, like we said, I go back. What is losing to him? I mean, if the guy can spin losing into winning.
Yes, if he can.
Like, spin I know it, a lot of people.
If he can spin it that this was stolen from him and he really won and this was nuts, then that can assuage his ego.
Right.
The thing that I don't think his ego can handle is him actually getting completely crushed.
Well, and I mean, well, we talked about what a definition of what the hell. Well, you wrote that blog post after I hit you on what a landslide is.
Right.
And that the reality is that given the numbers of where we're at right now, it's not going to be a Reagan type landslide or any of those old landslides like before. It's just not going to be.
Yeah, unless there's significant additional deterioration between now and November, which,
right.
Well, hell, yeah, the way it's going, who knows? But
who knows? It's not there right now. Right. It's not there now.
Now, and people generally expect it to tighten between now and November. But again, those expectations are built on normal elections. Who knows what the fuck Trump is going to do to continue to self-sabotage himself between now and then. I mean, the other thing I was going to mention, and I think we talked about this in passing last week, was Trump's outreach to African Americans. And there have been a lot of things posted about how now he's claiming, by the way, that since he started his outreach, his polls amongst African Americans have increased by 6 times.
Now, well, 6 times. Okay, that's possible.
By going from 1% to 6%.
6%, yes.
But it's actually not borne out. That has not happened at all. He's full of shit when he says that. Right. If anything,
he's normally full of shit about everything. So what the hell?
Right. But here's the thing, and a number of people have pointed this out, and so I'm just repeating it. There is nothing in what he's saying that is actually appealing to the African American vote. I mean,
as a matter of fact, it's insulting.
Exactly. The last thing he was saying, what was the quote? Like, basically,
what do you got to lose? Yeah. What do you got to lose to vote for me?
Things are so bad. You're in prison. You're poor. You're this. You're that. What do you have to lose? Why don't you try me? You know, look. The point that many people have made is he's not actually even trying to really appeal to the African American community. What he's trying to do is make a show of trying to appeal to the African American community to try to reassure the voters who are generally Republican voters but are turned off by the fact that he's appearing to be a racist, to say, oh, he's not really a racist after all. Maybe it's okay to vote for him.
Right.
So,
well, I think that the one thing is just the one thing that I saw certain people who were like, come on this. It just I was going to rip into somebody who is a friend of mine who just posted something moronic and said, nothing good has happened to the black community over the last 60 years. The Democrat. And I'm like, dude, are you fucking kidding me? Are you shitting me? 60 years ago, right? 1956. Right? Let's be straight about this. Segregation, Jim Crow laws, the back of the bus, fucking, I mean, what the hell, what the fuck, what the hell are you, I'm sorry, you need to go and take a fucking history lesson, you asshole.
Yeah.
I don't think that the African American community wants to get back to 1956. And I know for a fact that the African community, there is no way they would say that things are not better than 1956. They may not be ideal.
There may still be a long way to go, but we're certainly not where we were.
And the problem that you've got with progress right now is not so much even an African American community problem. We've had a problem since the 80s and the 90s you know, more with the mobility of people when because of issues with education and the changing of the workforce, mm-hmm. where manual labor jobs are just not paying as much. And this is a thing that's not just impacting African Americans. It's a thing that's impacting hell. I think one of the reasons why a lot of people with like lower skills, you know, it seems like with less of a college education are so attracted to Trump is because he's saying he's going to bring those jobs back and get them to bring more money, because a lot of people in that are with less education have been getting killed by that. And it's a real problem. And we've talked about this on our podcast many times before.
It's not just the economics, though, because, I mean, a lot there have been also analyses he's done that, you know, initially people were saying, you know, Trump's support is the white working class. It's blah, blah, blah. But when you actually look at the demographics of Trump supporters, they're actually, on average, higher income than people who don't support him. So it's not just that. And there's a very good article in Talking Points Memo by Josh Marshall, who's the editor there. Let's see, posted August 21st. Trumpism is a politics of loss and revenge. It's a good article. Read the whole thing. But one of the things it boils down to is looking at demographic trends overall and the fact that, you know, the percentage of the population that is white is reducing over time, and
right.
in more or less so in different areas of the country. But if you are a person whose self-identity is really wrapped up in the fact that you are white, now, and he makes a point to say, look, you know, even people who that's not true of, you know, if they get pulled over by a cop, they're still 100% white and get all the benefits associated with that.
Right.
But for people whose identity is really, really wrapped up in that, the fact that, you know, hey, you're not the majority anymore. It's not a default that you're in charge or you're, quote unquote, your people are in charge. And that's very distressing to a lot of people, you know, and for those people, these changes that the country is going through are incredibly scary, and you feel like, and they feel like they are, you know, becoming, yeah, well, you know, becoming a minority, which they are. And, you know, I remember the, there are a number of people who have tweeted things along the lines of, oh, you know, you're worried that you're going to become a minority? What? Is it like minorities are treated badly in the U.S. or something? You know?
Right.
But, you know, so, and a lot of this correlates to that. Anyway, it's a good article. Read the whole thing. I don't know. The only other thing to mention on Trump, really, and compared to previous weeks, there's actually been a lot less of this to talk about, and that's partially because, and you know, since our last show, since we recorded our last show, basically every single Trump appearance has been on teleprompter. He's been sticking to the script. The script may have had a few crazy things in it, but for the most part, you know, whoever is minding Trump's leash at this point is keeping him somewhat under wraps. I mean,
well, except tonight where he started calling Hillary a bigot.
Well, apparently that was in the script.
Okay. Well, that's nice.
He left out a couple of words and he rescrambled the sentence a little bit, but basically it was in the script.
Okay.
Hillary is a bigot because she takes for granted African American votes, and they're only votes to her. She doesn't care about them as people.
No, of course. That's right.
Basically the point there. But, you know, he's basically... look, I mean, some of the stuff that he says, even on script, is crazy, but he hasn't had one of these complete blowouts where he goes out and attacks some random person or says...
He hasn't mocked a reporter.
I mean,
he hasn't talked about the size of his dick.
At least not to the same degree as other weeks. And, you know, it's almost like he's finally realized that stuff was hurting him. You know, and so we'll see if he can keep it up, and if it helps. I, you know, like we said before, it's like, well, wait a few days and then something.
Then when he sees that the his numbers aren't improving, then he's going to.
Right. But, you know, but like every other time they've seemingly reined him in like this, it's only lasted like 48 hours. This time it's right. lasted a week.
Well, he did fire all these people.
He did.
You know,
he did. He fired a bunch of people. He brought in some new people. But we kind of expected that, like, you know, the Breitbart guy he brought in would make him even more radical. But instead, we're seeing this like softening on immigration and stuff like this. So it's unclear, like, you know, on the one hand, based on the people he brought in, you thought he'd go even more crazy. But in reality, it seems like he's trying to moderate a little bit. And the problem is people don't believe it. But he's still trying to moderate a little bit. So it's like, what's going on here? And I think it's if he succeeds in switching to the more moderate message, you know, I think it's too little too late because people don't believe him at this point. But on the flip side, if he only lasts a few more days and then he goes nuts again, then it's another narrative. But look, at this point, in order to turn this sucker around and even make this competitive, let alone actually win, yeah, it would take a miracle at this point. I mean, we're in August. We're past the conventions. Yes, we have a couple of debates coming up, but do you really think something's going to happen at the debate that's suddenly going to make all kinds of people love Trump that don't right now? It would take something incredibly substantial to change this dynamic at this point. He is, you know, a couple other people have said things like, look, if this was Romney that was this far back, you wouldn't rule him out completely at this point. You'd say, yeah, he's way behind, but, you know, he's got good people on his campaign. He's got a good staff. He's got a message.
Actually, you're wrong. If it was a traditional candidate and he's this far back, we'd say this thing is over.
Well, yeah.
Given the historical numbers, we would say right now this thing is over.
You would say that he was very, very far behind and it would take a lot to get there. But there's at least some.
And we'd say that this thing was over. We would say this thing is over. I mean, I'm sorry. He is so much further behind than any of the recent candidates in the recent election cycles at this stage that we would right now be saying this thing is over.
Yeah.
And the only reason we're not saying it's over is because it's this lunatic.
No, we are saying it's over. my point was you might give some of these other candidates some sort of shot. Given that it's Donald Trump, there's just... There's no confidence that he's got anything in him or in his staff that of the things that would be necessary to potentially turn this around at this point, you know.
Well, which talking about the numbers. OK, all right. I'm turning around. I want to refer to that poll that I talked about earlier.
You mentioned it before we started this show. So there's a poll in Florida you want to talk about.
So in Florida, recent polls had Clinton way ahead. Okay, so one poll came out today from Florida Atlantic University, which happens to be right by my house. Okay,
yeah,
and it showed Trump ahead.
Yes,
and I was like, okay, well, let me dig into the numbers. It's kind of interesting.
It's not the only one. There's another poll from the Florida Chamber of Commerce, I think, that just came out earlier today that also shows Trump ahead by a few percent.
Okay, well, especially considering that the one poll, the couple of polls before that showed.
There was a St. Leo poll that came out the same day showing Clinton ahead by 14%.
Exactly, okay. But I dug into the poll, and I from my perspective, and I saw that I pulled up Nate Silver's ratings on this poll. They suck, okay? The Florida, it was terrible. And here's the area where I found that this poll has some serious data quality issues, because in every reputable poll, Trump has been polling Hispanics in Florida at around 10 to 15% tops. Okay, all right, 17% I think was a rounded number. Not nowhere near 20. Okay, this poll found Trump with Hispanics getting 40% Hispanic vote. There is that's I'm sorry, I don't know what the hell they did with their methodology. That's impossible. Okay, all right.
So
there is no other polling showing that number to be anywhere near that number. The other one that they showed, which, as you know, we've had states where Trump has been polling with African Americans at zero. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Real organizations at 1 to 0, 20% support from African American as well. And I'm like, I'm sorry. I don't know what the hell methodology you did to pick your demographics, but based on all the other polling, those two are impossible.
So speaking,
your sample is fucked up.
Speaking of that, this is a real organization, a real legitimate pollster, and maybe they have some methodological issues and they are clearly an outlier. Although, like I said, at least one other pollster came out with something similar to their results recently. But there are apparently now actual fake polls starting to come out.
yes, I saw that. Yes.
So there are a couple that I'll mention. One was a completely obvious poll that came out last week. Somebody faked a PPP poll. Public policy polling is one of the big pollsters. I've been polling a lot of stuff this election cycle. But somebody took their format and basically tried to reproduce it as if it was a PPP poll and started spreading it around the internet. And a lot of people who didn't think very hard were fooled. This showed Trump ahead in Florida by 40% or something along those lines. You know, it was like 70-30 Trump to Clinton or something in Florida.
Okay.
And, you know, and it, you know, it was clearly totally like a cut and paste job where they took like a real PPP poll and substituted in a bunch of numbers and changed some text around. And so
this wasn't like, this wasn't like we made up a fake polling organization. These people actually took a PPP press release, okay, yes, for a poll, and then just fucking like changed the numbers to put the numbers that they want.
Yes. Yes. so that was going around.
That's interesting.
But the other one is the first poll I have seen that I have not included in my electiongraphs.com aggregation, which is a poll that came out done by the Center for Excellence in Project Execution for Pennsylvania.
What? What?
The Center what? For Excellence in Project Execution.
This is a polling firm?
No.
It sounds like a project management firm.
This is a consulting firm for Canadian oil companies.
Huh? What?
And apparently also it's a consulting firm for Canadian oil companies that didn't exist more than 4 months ago. They showed
now this is fake, good fake.
Now, and they showed Trump with a significant lead over Clinton in Pennsylvania, which is another state mm-hmm. where Clinton has been leading by large numbers. Daryl Holman, who's another person who does election modeling on a website called horsesass.org, who I've corresponded with to compare notes on what we do with our analysis a few times. There was a lot going on about this poll and people saying, is this real? Is this not? And I had chosen to tentatively not include it based on all of the weird things about it I'd already seen. But I sent an email to him saying, what do you think about these guys? And so he sent me an email back, which he later repurposed and fleshed out some more for a blog post called The Fake Polls Have Arrived. It was posted Monday, August 22nd on horsesass.org. And he basically goes through their press release and points out all of the crazy shit on it. Like he didn't even mention the things like I just did about, hey, it's you know, the company hasn't existed that long. It's this, it's that. Like, the only name they mentioned, the person they mentioned as an expert that they quoted in their press release, if you look them up, the only thing that comes up is a LinkedIn entry for like a grad student in California somewhere. Anyway, but
it's kind of like Trump's doctor. This is
But it has other things, like, you know, the press release says, you know, the survey is designed to use a scientific method.
So they did the scientific method. So we had a placebo and
the point is not, of course, all good pollsters use scientific methodology in their polling, but they don't like usually call it out like that. So it was kind of weird.
Right.
They talk about there are a lot of other weird things in the polling, in the way that they give their statement. There was badly written, bad grammar. Some of it didn't make any sense. But then they also talk about like the sample being based on a census that didn't exist. They apparently weighted the poll, but only by gender, not by any of the other things that polls are generally weighted on. They get the margin of error wrong given the sample size they listed. There's all kinds of things like that. And the post goes through it one by one. And then they did some weird stuff like, They gave some graphs dividing up the income distribution of the respondents, but and the age of the respondents and things like that. But rather than, you know, normally those would be in sort of like broad categories, but like the income distribution is like they had $10,000 chunks going from
$10,000 chunks. Okay.
Yeah. And they divided up into like 30 categories or something. And it's like, how do you even ask? They said they used robocalls to this. How do you even ask that? Do you actually just ask somebody, please input your income to the dollar?
Right.
You know, anyway, lots and lots of weird stuff on this one. And so I actually did not include it in my averages at all, which like in my general philosophy on election graphs is include everything and let the averages sort it out.
But this is fake. I mean, this has got to be fake.
It's just what is the purpose of this other than for somebody to be able to say, woo woo, Trump's leading in Pennsylvania.
Right. But this has to be fake. I mean, this isn't like a bad, this is a poll. Like, for example, this FAU poll, I think that they have a problem with their methodology. I don't think it's a fake poll. Okay. But that's just fake.
Yeah. I mean, I guess there's a possibility that it's somebody just completely incompetent trying to put something out and having no idea what the hell they're doing at all.
I'm sorry, the fake LinkedIn page. The fact that the company, what was the business they were involved in?
The LinkedIn page looked like it was a real person. It just looked like a real person with no expertise in polling.
Right. And then what are you talking about? The company was it didn't exist until a couple of months ago. And then it's supposedly in the oil business.
Yes.
And they're doing a poll in they're in the oil business in Canada. Right. Give me a break.
Yeah. Anyway, so like, and who knows? We'll probably see more of these. And so it like makes my job harder on election graphs. Like, I had hoped to like, it just, like I said, just include everything, let the averages sort it out, but, you know, and not make a judgment. Like, you know, obviously people like 538 have their pollster rankings where they've historically investigated who's better or worse in previous elections, and they weight things accordingly. Part of my whole point in election graphs is you don't have to do all that shit. Just do something simple and you still come out with a really good result. And I didn't want to be in the business of deciding, okay, this poll's good, I'll include it. This poll's bad, I won't. Because once you start getting into that business, you start cherry picking. Like, whether you want to or not, you're like distorting your data based on the choice of which polls you include and which polls you don't. So I didn't want to do that. I just wanted to include everything. But this is like so completely whack job. It's like, this isn't, I can't include this.
It isn't real. It's not real.
There's nothing stopping me from suddenly tweeting and saying, you know, hey, I just did a poll in Rhode Island and, you know, Hillary's winning by 30%.
Well, I'm gonna start tweeting my own polls too to you, so you can include them in there.
Yeah, I mean, and look, you know, I did my own poll. I called the three people I know in Pennsylvania and asked them, and two of them were for Clinton, and so therefore she's at 66%.
There you go.
You know, yeah. Anyway,
no, can't use them. What are you gonna do?
Okay. Anything else on the election?
No.
Okay. Well, then let's close out the show. A little bit shorter than our usual shows. So you're still awake, Yvonne. I congratulate you. Thank you, everybody, for listening to the show. If you've made it to the end, we appreciate it. We so appreciate it. And, for all the usual stuff of how to contact us and stuff, yeah, you know. Go to curmudgeons-corner.com. And you'll see information. Go to our Facebook page, etc. All the usual. And, have a great week, everybody.
Well, what about if somebody listened for the first time? What are you saying, all the usual?
Well, you know, I might have inserted it in one of my random breaks.
Okay.
I told them to go to curmudgeons-corner.com. They can find out all the information there.
All right.
Or at least
okay, good deal.
They can go. All right. They can find our Facebook page from there. They can subscribe to the podcast from there. All that kind of stuff. I don't know.
Okay.
If you're right, confused about how to give us feedback, I don't know. We're Curmudgeon's Corner on Facebook. There you go.
There you go. Yes. There you go. Beautiful.
And curmudgeons-corner.com, like I said. That'll get you straight to the actual posts as well.
And you can follow me on Twitter at imbou.com.
Or me.
imbou.com. There's no .com.
No one, no three, no numbers.
No.
You're at imbo. That's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's it. Yep.
And I'm at Abulsme, A-B-U-L-S-M-E. Follow me. Talk to us.
Yep.
All the usual. We've just said everything we normally say. Yep. I was trying to abbreviate this ending and essentially just say goodbye, but no, we come back and we say everything anyway.
Yes, we do.
Review us on iTunes. There you go.
Yes.
Okay, goodbye, everyone. Have a great week. We'll talk to you next time. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.